Good morning, you're listening to FloridaDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. I'm in Washington at the Flooring Sustainability Summit, and I'm with Sarah Templin, the Sustainability Materials Specialist with Gensler. Sarah, how you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
You're actually the target audience for what we're doing here. You're pretty new with Gensler, right?
That's right. I've only been at Gensler since September.
And you have a background. You were a part-time faculty with the Parsons School of Design?
That's right. I taught at Parsons in the product design department, really specializing on sustainable approaches to product design. I'm actually an industrial designer by trade, so that's what I was working on before Gensler.
And you're giving a talk tomorrow. I want to go to that in just a minute. But you're also the manager of the Gensler sustainability standards that just were released, right?
Yes, I'm the manager of Gensler's product sustainability standards, which are the standards that focus on our plan to reduce our embodied carbon. And that focuses on 12 high-impact product categories that we specify here. Huge quantities of all around the world. And so we knew that we needed to be really particular about what specific products we're specifying within those product categories so that we could reach our carbon goals. So it's a combination of designer selected finishes and base building materials. And two of them are flooring products right now. For version one, we have two products that are connect to flooring, carpet tile, and resilient flooring and base.
When you say you've got two flooring standards, do you specify a brand or parameters around what you should be thinking about?
We have holistic criteria that is in five different criteria categories. So we're looking at everything from corporate commitments to material health, embodied carbon, life cycle impacts. And we have specific criteria in each of those categories. And products need to meet a baseline standard of that criteria for our designers to specify those products on their projects or client work. And then there's also an additional market differentiator level, which is more ambitious criteria that denotes a product as kind of being at the forefront of the sustainability effort. It also is a market signal to manufacturers of where the industry appears to be going.
Interesting. Are these readily available? Can you find them on the web?
Yeah, they're all public facing. I know GPS is a challenging thing to Google because it has a whole other meaning.
Right.
But if you Google Gensler product sustainability standards, you will find it. It's public facing so that all manufacturers can see the information and so that other architecture and design firms can also adopt this for themselves if they're interested.
We're at this event, as I mentioned, and you're a keynote speaker tomorrow. Would you have come to this if they had invited you to speak?
Well, honestly, I didn't know about it prior to them inviting me to speak, but I'm so glad that I'm here because from my perspective in the architecture and design world, but also as someone who works on sustainability strategy within our firm, it's really critical for me to be able to hear the hot topics of what is going on for these manufacturers. So the hurdles, the challenges, the roadblocks, whatever you want to describe it as, those are really important and informative tidbits for us because we rely so much on our manufacturers' feedback on our criteria in order to make it work. If we didn't hear from our manufacturers literally on a daily basis about what's going well for them and what's not going well for them, our sustainability criteria would never work out. So it's very helpful for us.
You've been a little outspoken today in a couple of the breakout sessions because generally a designer wants to satisfy their client's needs. And in many cases, it's about the aesthetic. And a lot of times you don't really get into embodied carbon and a lot of those details, do you?
It's not that our designers don't want to get into the sustainability details. If you look at Gensler, we have so many designers, and so many of them are very passionate about sustainability. We have a lot of really young designers, and we know that the future generations are particularly interested and engaged in this. The problem is that our designers don't necessarily have the time to analyze every single sustainability criteria that they would like to be able to analyze. It's also not necessarily something that's taught in design school. So for me, as someone who's coming to this as both a product designer and an educator, I'm really thinking about that system that the designers are going through, the pain points for them, how we are communicating that information, their workflow, and trying to make sure that we get information to them in a way that fits within their current workflow rather than expecting them to take on yet another thing. So a lot of what I do is try to understand what is working well for our designers, the ways that they want information to be shared with them, and then communicate that out to our manufacturers.
You're speaking to Mara. Can you give me a couple of points that you plan to make?
Yeah, I'm going to be talking tomorrow about our sustainability criteria. The emphasis really is on transparency. We ask for data with our criteria. This is not another certification program. We're asking specifically for you to provide us just with the information, the data, so that we can analyze it ourselves. And I am reciprocating that request for transparency with some transparency of our own. So we're going to be talking about why this is our specific plan to reduce embodied carbon instead of something else, which I think is noteworthy to this audience because it's going to be some insight into what your clients are looking for and why. We'll also talk about how we developed the criteria, how we chose the specific product categories, the research that went into that, that was funded by the Gensler Research Institute, how we use that information, and how our manufacturing collaborators can provide us information that in a way that really sets them up for success with sales and their own sustainability goals and everything else.
I'm trying to be empathetic, sitting in your shoes as you sit in this audience. But it's encouraging to hear that of the 12 categories that Gensler addressed in their product sustainability standards, that two of them were flooring. Mm-hmm. I think often about how many different finishes there are and how many categories there are that go into interiors. So flooring is enough of an important topic for this to have some meaning to you, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. We work on over 1 billion square feet of design space every year. And flooring is in just about every one of those projects. So that's a huge factor in us reducing our embodied carbon. Anything that is going to be specified in big quantities in almost every project is going to, of course, be something that we take a critical look at and try to partner with that manufacturing industry on in order to achieve our mutual goals.
Do you have a favorite type of flooring?
No, I can't say that. I have no idea what my favorite type of flooring would be. I live in a 130-ish year old house with the original floors, and I have to say it's beautiful to be able to look at them and think about the history of that space and that material. That's a topic that's come up a lot today, thinking about old buildings and the material that's been in them for ages versus the current trends of refinishing an office space every 5 years. And it is meaningful and unusual now to have material that is that old.
The floor you're living on, is that a plant-based floor?
It's wood, yeah, sure is.
Okay. All right, Sarah, well, it's great to spend time with you, and thanks for spending time with our audience. Again, been talking to Sarah Templin, the Sustainability Materials Specialist at Gensler, and you've been listening to Kempar and FloorDaily.net.